set up here. We're actually, it's not just me. It's going to be a lot of us up here this morning sharing. Randy's actually, this is the first time Randy and I have done kind of a combination message thing. Usually at this time, we invite our children to go to junior worship. And we thought, the pastoral team thought a little earlier this year, that we'd like to try to have some Sundays where we all just kind of hang together the whole service. So hopefully that won't throw you guys off too much today. But calling it kind of a family message time, a family worship service time. And so we're going to start out with a very interactive Bible lesson. And Randy's going to wrap it up a little bit later. We have some surprises in the midst of it. So children, or anybody who wants to be a little closer to the action, can come on up here and sit in front. There's a whole big long row that's open. And you're invited to come on up if you want to. After the message, we actually have some packets up here of some story sheets and things that you guys can do it back in your seats while Randy's talking. So please just join us. You can sit on a chair or here on the floor. I'm going to put this down. Our story today, we're going to have a story about a man and a boat. It's a story about a wild and crazy storm and some really scared sailors. And it's a story about fear and trust and about a God's call to obey. And it's also a story about a very big, hungry fish. Does that give it away? All right. Mary, could you move this stand too, please? All right, but I need some volunteers for our story first, and I want volunteers, all kinds of volunteers here today. First of all, our story has some pretty cool sound effects. So do I have some brave folks over here that are willing to stand around this microphone and do some sound effects? I'm thinking of maybe some young adults or older that would be willing, or high school. You want to help with sound effects? All right, come on over. I actually have some guides, too, a cheat sheet for you. So, come on. I also need, come on, brave people. Yeah, Zach, yes, excellent. Okay, there you go. There's your cheat sheet. Cheat sheet. Okay, I need some other volunteers. I need somebody, and I'm going to get my story box out here. Okay, one, two, three. Okay, good. I need, and you guys can go back in the boat. Get in the boat. Excellent. I need some people who, some seaweed twirlers. Okay, Jenna, Megan, I think I'm going to save you. There we go. Do we have another seaweed twirler? Okay, you guys can stand. Hang on. I'm going to give you. Oh, first of all, you guys put those on your heads. There we go. Okay, you grab a couple of these. There we go. Do I have another seaweed twirler? Okay, come on, Chloe. Okay, and you guys can stand right over there where all those cords are. Right over there. There we go. Now, your job is to be the sailors in the boats, okay? And I need a Jonah. And Gabe, you were so wanting to volunteer. Would you like to be Jonah today? Come on. Okay. All right. Your job is to be the sailors in the boat that kind of take care of Jonah. That flap, yeah, that goes up. Okay. And your job is when Jonah, everybody knows Jonah goes into a fish, right? So this is no big secret. When Jonah's in the belly, you're going to make the seaweed go all around him, okay? All right. Jonah. Okay. God opened my Bible because you know what? This story comes from the Bible. And who knows? The Old or New Testament? Katie. The Old Testament, because Jonah lived before Jesus lived. Jonah lived before Jesus lived. Many, many years ago, there was a prophet, and he lived before the time of Jesus. And Jonah was a man who knew God. And Jonah was a man to whom God spoke on a regular basis. And on this particular day, God spoke to Jonah. And God said, Jonah, I want you to go to the town of Nineveh, because Nineveh is so wicked and they're so bad that you need to go and tell them about God, tell them about me, and maybe they'll change their mind about being so bad. And so Jonah said, yeah, sure, God. Yep, whatever you want me to do, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. But really, in his heart, he said, no way. I'm not doing it. I'm not going. Because those people are crazy bad. And they might hurt me if I tell them that they're bad. And besides, I really don't like them very much. And so Jonah very quickly ran down to the seaport at Joppa. And he very quickly hopped on a boat going the opposite direction. So you just hop right on here, go over here and stand by. Here we go. And he very quickly walked down to the bottom of the boat and curled up and found a very nice, cozy place to take a very nice, fine nap. Well, the boat hadn't gone out to sea very long before God caused a storm to blow up, a very violent, windy storm. And this boat was being tossed back and forth, and the sailors were very, very afraid. They were really afraid. And they said, now, the sailors didn't believe in Jonah's God, but they believed that there were gods up there, and they thought for sure that the gods were causing this, and they said, pray, let's throw everything overboard. Let's throw everything. So throw everything out of the boat. We're going to throw everything out of the boat because maybe that'll make the gods happy. And the storm got louder and louder. And the boat shook even more. And all the while, Jonah is sleeping, and finally the captain of the boat found Jonah in the bottom of the boat. He said, Jonah, you need to wake up. What are you doing sleeping? And Jonah, the captain said, Jonah, you need to call to your God, and you need to tell him to stop the storm. Pray to him to stop the storm. And the storm kept going. The storm kept going. And so the sailor said, we have to find out. And so what they did, they said they cast lots. So throw those dice out there. They cast lots. Sure, yep, yeah, just sure a little bit. Dice. Throw them out. Dice. And you know what? The lot fell on Jonah. God told the sailors that it was Jonah's fault, that the storm was louder and louder and worse. And so Jonah said, throw me out of the boat. Throw me out of the boat right now. And throw me out of the boat, and without hurting me too much, because there was water down there.
Give us Jonah. And give us Jonah.
And Jonah ended up down in the water right here in the middle. And he was floating. Now you can sit down. He was floating in the water. And just when he thought that he couldn't tread water anymore. All right.
Go.
Just when he thought he couldn't tread water anymore, along came a giant fish. And completely swallowed Jonah.
Man.
With one huge gulp. Yes. And there Jonah was in the belly of the fish. You can only imagine what it must have been like. Jonah was tumbling down, down in the fish. And he ended up tumbling down in the fish and sat in the belly, and he found himself a nice, slimy, smelly bed of seaweed to sit upon. All right. You can sit down on your smelly, slimy bed of seaweed. Yeah. And all the seaweed was swirling around his head. All the seaweed was swirling around his head as the water came down into the belly. And there he sat. And he sat for one whole day on his slimy, smelly bed of seaweed. You know, has anybody ever sent you to your room to think about it? Has that ever happened to you? Do your parents do that sometime? You go to your room and think about it, whatever you did. Has that ever happened to you guys yet? Sometimes, in some ways, it happens to us all while we're growing up. And Jonah was kind of like God sent Jonah to his room to think about it, to think about what was going on. And he sat there for one whole day in this smelly, slimy bed of seaweed. And he sat there for another whole day in this slimy, smelly bed of seaweed. What could he have been thinking all the time? And one more day, 3 days he sat on his slimy, smelly bed of seaweed. Now, we can only imagine what he must have been thinking. Perhaps he thought that he was still mad at God and he wasn't going to go to God. He wasn't going to talk to God. He's still mad at him. Or maybe he was thinking, wow, this is really cool in here. Or maybe he thought, I don't want to obey. I'm not going to obey God. There's no way I'm going to obey God. I'm just going to sit here. And finally, on the third day, I think it started to get to him a little bit. And he prayed. He finally decided to pray this prayer. And he prayed, "The ocean grips my throat. My head is tangled in seaweed. I am as far down as a body can go, and the gates are slamming shut behind me forever. Those who worship hollow gods, God fakes, walk away from their only true love. But I am worshiping you, God, calling out in thanksgiving, and I'll do what I promised to do. Salvation belongs to God." And all of a sudden, we can only imagine what might have happened. The whale's belly started to churn, just like your belly does sometime when you're not feeling very good. And it started to churn and churn, and all of a sudden, popped out of the belly of the whale. And he landed on dry ground, and God put him right on the beach of the city of Nineveh. Imagine that. He put him right at the right spot. And Jonah went to the city of Nineveh, and he preached to the people there. And the people of Nineveh admitted that they were wicked, and they turned to God. And God did not destroy the city. And Jonah, because Jonah obeyed, he saved the city of Nineveh. Obedience is really important. It's important for us to think, what's God calling you to obey today? How is God calling you to obey? Because in every person's heart and life, God is calling us to do something that he wants us to do. When Jonah finally obeyed, great things happened. Let's give our actors a round of applause. Thank you very much. God's first call to obey. And you guys, you know what, kids? We have some worksheets up here that you can grab if you want. There's some for younger children on this side and some for older kids. And you can go back to your parents. And as they're doing that, Just wanted to explain a little bit. We have children. It's as a children's minister here at Buffalo Valley, it's one of my greatest joys to see children come to Christ. And this spring, I've had a chance to pray with four children to come to Christ. And I know there's others who have prayed with other children, because on next Sunday, we're going to have eight children baptized, as well as a lot of other folks in our congregation are being baptized. And this morning, we just wanted to share in their own words, their response to God's call for them to obey. Because the first thing God calls us to do in obeying him is to follow Christ and to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And so we have a very special treat this morning, and ask somebody to get the lights, please. And we're going to share that with you.
We'll let them work on that because of time. We'll keep going, but maybe we can get back to that. It's a wonderful video that we want to show you in just a moment. So, are you ready? No. Okay. You can keep working on it. Okay. That was my cue. La, 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 la. How many of you remember getting your driver's permit? Do you remember that? Some of you are in the process. Some of you need to. I won't name anybody. But anyway, it's a fascinating process. You remember going out to driver's ed? Hi, Deb. Doing driver's ed and going to class. And I remember going to the driver ed teacher out on runs and stuff with other students driving and so on. You remember all the rules you had to learn, the rules of the road and stuff, you know, about come to a complete stop at a stop sign, or always look both ways, or obey the speed limit, or don't pass on a solid yellow line. All those stuff we had to learn and we had to obey in order to get where you wanted to go safely and keep everybody happy, you know, and keep the police off your tail and so on. And also they learned, well, it reminds me of a true story told by Doug Buford is his name. And let me share it quickly. He says, during my college years, I decided it made no sense to stop at red lights. Okay? And especially when there's no traffic around. And he says, so I began to stop briefly, then just long enough to check for cars, and then I would proceed. And he lived out in the country, you know, and there's this red light out in the middle of nowhere. And at this four-way intersection, and there was hardly, maybe, you know, during the day, three cars went through the thing. So he'd get to there, and nothing coming, and just keep on going. Wouldn't stop. He said, one day I approached the light, and I'd already checked out the landscape and was near the empty intersection when a car topped the hill to my left, and it was too far to pose any threat, so he said, I just flew right through the intersection like usual, no big deal. But then he said, next time he drove through the intersection, same scenario. He got there, he's looking, nobody's around. We have this thing in New Berlin, this little stop sign, nobody stops at. I see it happen all the time. The people up there and they're looking at it, and off they go. He said, another car's coming over the hill, no big deal. You know, so he flies through the intersection and he's going up the hill that the car's coming down, and it's a police car. And he said, oops. I learned my lesson that day. Got pulled over, had to pay a ticket, you know, was fined for not obeying the rules of the road. We know Jesus expects us to obey his rules for life. He commands us, Matthew 22:37. He commands us, Jesus commands us to love the Lord. That's one of his rules for life. He commands us, we're to obey it, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And it's interesting, in 2 John 6, we find a verse where John writes, he says, oh, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. We're commanded to love God, and one of the ways that we love God, John says, is by obeying his commands. So if you really love God, you'll be obedient to him. Okay? If you really love God, you'll be obedient to him. Our scripture lesson today, of course, story of Jonah. And here we see a contrast between disobeying God and obeying God. We learn quickly that disobeying God springs from a lack of trust. Okay, disobeying God means we don't trust God. God clearly commanded Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh and preach against it. Nineveh was the most important city in Assyria. And it was also very, very wicked. As a prophet, Jonah was obligated to obey God. That's what prophets do. They obey God and what God says. But Jonah tries to escape his responsibilities by running. Why did he run? Why did he disobey? Because he didn't trust God. He didn't trust God when God said that he would judge Nineveh for its wickedness. Remember, Jonah's a Jew. The Jews hate the Assyrians. Jonah doesn't want Nineveh to repent. That's his enemy. Jonah wants God to destroy Nineveh. But see, Jonah knows God. Jonah knows God is merciful. He's love. He's afraid that God, instead of judging them, is going to end up forgiving them. And then, of course, make them like their buddy buddies. And Jonah says, no way, that's my enemy. I don't want them to repent. I want God to destroy them. So he disobeys. He doesn't trust God. God's not going to do what he says. God's not going to destroy them. God's going to forgive them. So Jonah runs. He runs and he tries to hide. Disobeying God springs from a lack of trust. Jonah did not trust God. But on the other hand, obedience strengthens our trust. When you're obedient, our trust is strengthened in God. As we obey, we see God work. And as we see God work, we start to understand what he's doing. We start to understand what God is thinking. We start to see things the way God sees them, and our perspective changes. And it's easy to trust, isn't it? It's easy to trust when you understand what's going on. It's easy to trust when you understand. So obedience strengthens our trust. And we also see disobedience again. Disobedience impacts others negatively. Jonah hides on a ship headed in the opposite direction. What is he thinking? What is he thinking? You can't hide from God. You know that. Just ask Adam and Eve. Remember the story after Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden? They tried to hide from God. Genesis 3:8, it says, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden, so they hid from the Lord God among the trees. And what happened next? God found them, of course. He knew where they were. You can't hide from God. After all, he is God. He's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, he's everywhere present. How in the world do you think you're going to hide from me? But oh boy, how many of us try to hide from God? Or try to hide from God what we're doing? Never works. Never works. Of course God finds Jonah. And he causes a very nasty storm to wake him up. But the storm affected everybody around him too. The sailors were terrified. You see, when you disobey God, the consequences can be severe. And the consequences can affect everybody around you as well. Back to driving a car. You disobey, you break the speed limit. You have a high-speed crash. You hurt yourself. You smash the car to pieces because of disobedience. But also, your disobedience can hurt the innocent passenger sitting next to you in the front seat. It doesn't just affect you, it affects everybody around you as well. Our disobedience can hurt others. Jonah's disobedience hurt others. But on the other hand, if you're obedient, that can impact people positively. When Jonah obeyed God and preached to the Ninevites, they repented of their sinful ways. Instead of God destroying them, God had mercy on them, praise the Lord. Because with obedience comes blessings. Take your Bible. James chapter 1. Just one verse, James chapter 1, verse 25. Now, I have the New Living Translation, so it's worded a little bit different. James 1, 25. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, okay, if you're obedient to what God wants you to do, if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. As we are obedient to God, we are blessed. Obedience comes with a promise. God says, you obey me and I'll bless you. You obey me and I'll bless you. So you see, disobedience impacts others negatively, but obedience impacts others positively. And we're called to obey. We're called to obey. God called Jonah to obey. God's calling you to obey. God is calling you to trust him. God is calling you to love him. Disobedience will keep you from knowing and experiencing God's plan. Obedience will open the door to knowing and experiencing God's plan for you. We want to sing a song. Praise team, want to come up and get ready? You have that thing? Is it ready? Okay. We're going to sing in a moment. Get the popcorn ready. Let's go.
Before I asked Jesus into my heart, I was just really little, and I didn't really know about him that much. And ever since the day that we were in the car ready to go to preschool, I've been feeling a lot better. And before I would pray only at mealtime, and now I pray every single night.
Christ means a lot to me. He's like my best friend. He's always by my side, and he never leaves me.
The day at ballet, I was getting ready, and my sister, she was upstairs. My mom was getting upset because I was getting very late, later than I usually was. So I prayed and prayed and asked God into my heart. I knew it was something that might help. And after that, I felt pretty good. And when I was doing ballet, my kicks felt better.
I've always heard lots of stories about God, but I wasn't really close to him. Later, I accepted Jesus into my heart, and then I was really close to him.
After I met Jesus, I knew I didn't have to be alone anymore, and that he was always there for me. And he's my strength, helps me do whatever I need to do, and he's always there, so I'm never alone.
Before I became a Christian, there was this group of friends at school who always used to talk about people and just were rude and nasty. And then after I became a Christian, I left, and now I'm involved in the youth and all my friends at school. And now we have this other group of kids that talk about God nonstop. And he's just like my best friend. He's always there for me.
Before I accepted Jesus as my Lord, I went to church. Other people were talking about accepting Jesus into their hearts, and I thought I should accept them as my Lord and Savior too. One day, during junior worship, then said a prayer about accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior, and I prayed with him. Now I feel happier and I'm doing better in school and sports.
No, I got in trouble a lot. One day at my house, I prayed to ask God into my heart. I still get in trouble a lot, but less.
I always went to church, but I always lived my life like everyone else in the world. But now that since I know Christ, I just live my life like a Christian, and I'm outgoing now just to be a better Christian in my life. And Christ is like my best friend. I just know that someone's there when I need someone to turn to.
A couple years ago, my Uncle George died, and everyone was really sad. My mom told me that we
we should pray so we wouldn't be as sad. And we prayed, and I asked Mom why we did. And she said because Jesus was always listening and she could help us with our problems. So I listened, and that's when I met Jesus.
He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call.
You just heard the testimony of several young people who are obeying the call of the Lord. And they will be richly blessed. They've already been blessed, but they will be richly blessed for it. How about you? Are you being called to obey? I bet you are. But what's your reaction? Are you acting like Jonah, trying to run away and hide? Never works. Or are you acting like the transformed Jonah, who when he decided to do what God was calling him to do, was greatly blessed? Trust and Obey is a hymn that we've sung for a long time. It's a wonderful, powerful hymn of the church. D.L. Moody was doing revival services way back in the 1800s, and it was a testimony night. And so various people who have been coming to the meetings were giving their testimonies. And a young man stood up, and he said this. He said, "Well, I'm not really sure." You just see, you know, the doubt and the struggle in his heart. "I'm not really sure, but I will trust him and I will obey him. And we'll see what happens." D.L. Moody's song leader wrote down that phrase, "I will trust him and I will obey him," and then wrote a song. And it's our hymn, Trust and Obey. So as the praise team comes up, we're going to sing Trust and Obey as we're closing. We want you to think about that. Where are you at? God is calling. You going to trust and obey or try and run and hide? Let's stand and let's sing.